More Idaho Matters right now. Indigenous art is often only viewed as a relic, a historical work of the past, but that's not the case. Their art and their people are present today. One Pueblo artist showcases that concept in his latest exhibit. Emma Vandenhainde of the Mountain West News Bureau takes us inside to witness his futuristic work.
The year is 2180. The New Mexican Pueblos are under attack by Spanish invaders. Two leaders in metallic combat gear, Omtua and Katua, are going to each Pueblo to share the news about an uprising. That's the premise of Virgil Ortiz's Revolt, 1680-2180, Runners and Gliders. The new exhibit at Denver's History Colorado Museum blends augmented reality and futuristic fashion with more than 800-year-old pottery. It's an artistic expression that's based on the true story of the Pueblo Revolt of 1680.
It's America's first revolution, but it's not called that or taught that because of the bloodshed.
That's Virgil Ortiz, the lead artist on the project. His ancestors told him about the tribal runners and how they coordinated the revolt against the Spanish using knotted deer hide.
At each Pueblo, they dropped up a knotted cord to all the leaders, and they instructed them to untie one knot every morning. So on the day when the last knot was untied, then all the people rose up and pushed out the invaders.
Experts call it the most successful indigenous uprising in North American history, even though it's been rarely taught in schools.
I'm trying to educate globally about what happened to our people, the atrocities, the bloodshed, and eventually the peace that came after it, but using art.
But this isn't your average exhibit. It explores the concept called slipstream, where events in the past, present, and future are occurring at the same time. That's how Ortiz combines centuries-old pottery showing the runners with futuristic portrayals of them. Ren Batista modeled for the exhibit.
I've got this awesome silver crocodile skin pattern chest piece on with a spiky sort of headdress coming out of the back, and it's all very sci-fi and transformative.
The exhibit also features a projection room with colored lights, indigenous symbols, and characters searching for artifacts. But the sci-fi elements aren't solely for social interaction. Batista says the layout of the exhibit shows that indigenous history transcends time.
That heritage has survived on despite the violence, despite the colonialism against them. And so to see it finally being socially relevant, to see voices like Virgil's being highlighted by history centers is such an awesome turn of tides.
The exhibit opened to the public this month. Jeremy Morton with History Colorado says this is unlike anything the museum's done before, pushing the boundaries of how history can be taught.
Someone who's maybe not a history person, maybe not a history buff, is able to look at this exhibit and create this association of, wow, I didn't realize history could be told in this cool way.
It's left an impact on some visitors like Ader Toon, a college history professor in Denver. He is Yucatec Maya, and he says he struggles to remind himself that his people are still here.
I think this exhibition brings this idea that we are not just here, but also we are modern. We are part of the future as well.
Kat Lovato, who's part Jicarilla Apache, also came to see the exhibit. She came dressed to the event in traditional clothing.
Everything that Virgil does that has an emphasis on the indigenous population and the wars and everything, it matters to us.
She hopes exhibits like these educate people about indigenous history. People like Emmeline Chirotis, her 8-year-old granddaughter.
I love learning about our family's history, and people need to know.
Ortiz agrees.
Every time people talk about indigenous people, it's like in the past, right? So I just want them to acknowledge and know that we're still here living, thriving, creating.
He hopes that other indigenous communities can join him in his mission to highlight their prevalence in Colorado and throughout the Mountain West.
I really want them to come speak up and tell their history, all of their ancestors, and be acknowledged of that we're all still here together.
Virgil Ortiz's Revolt, 1680-2180, Runners and Gliders, will be on display at History Colorado until the end of next May. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Emma Vandenhainde.
Artists, musicians, and vendors came from across the region this past weekend to participate in an Indigenous Comic-Con festival. They reflected on Indigenous history and celebrated their culture. The Mountain West News Bureau's Emma Vandenhainde reports.
The opening guitar riff rang out of the Levitt Pavilion speakers just outside Denver. Eager heavy metal fans lined the barrier at the Res Metal concert, cheering on the Arizona native band Merciless Indian Savages. They were among the artists at IACON, an indigenous Comic-Con festival, featuring everything from a futuristic fashion show to a blacklight powwow. The word Aya is from the Lakota language, meaning to change or become. Christina Maldonado Badhand co-founded the new event, and she says the goal was to show people the range of what indigenous art looks like.
We have powwow dancing and we have a lot of our culture presenting, but we have toys up there. We've got like comic books, there's anime stuff, there's horror stuff. Like, it's really broadened.
Most Comic-Cons feature voice actors and celebrities from superhero and sci-fi movies. The Denver event was all about indigeneity and highlighting the breadth of their skills and talents, including heavy metal music.
People think it's nonsense, but we're like spitting some knowledge, you know, that people are unaware of, and metal's like the perfect canvas to do that.
That's Corey Ashley, the vocalist for Merciless Indian Savages. Their songs often reference genocide and oppression inflicted upon indigenous people. One of the songs is titled Kill Man, Save the Indian. It's a twist on the philosophy behind the traumatic Indian boarding schools enforced for decades by the U.S. government.
Originally, everybody knows, obviously, kill the Indian, save the man. But we're like, you know, F that. We want to, like, empower our people, and we want to denounce this way of saying it.
Ruben Dawahoya, the band's bass player, says he wanted to show that indigenous people belong in heavy metal, too.
We're just turning the tides, basically, turning the vice versa around on everybody else, saying that we can't evolve and we can't do things that everybody else can.
The IACON event also featured creatives like Sean Biel. The Diné multimedia artist collaborated on Marvel's Heritage Voices comic book.
I grew up on Marvel Comics, so, you know, for them to come and reach out to me, that made that little res boy in me happy because, you know, I never thought that would be something possible.
He believes indigenous artists can embrace the contemporary without forgetting their ancestral roots.
We do live in modern society, but at the same time, you know, we do hold on to our culture.
Danielle Boyer, a 22-year-old engineer, also presented at the con. She made a talking and singing robot that looks like a tiny minion with cat ears. Boyer says it also helps preserve native languages like Ojibwe Mo'en.
So it'd say a phrase like, Buju, hello, say it back. And so it encourages the child to respond to the prompt.
She also started the STEAM Connection, a nonprofit focused on bringing robotic education and building materials to indigenous youth for free. That idea came out of the discrimination she faced in trying to join robotics clubs. She hopes indigenous youth will pursue their interests, even when these industries are predominantly white.
We've always been scientists, we've always been inventors, and so spaces like this Comic-Con uplift that, uplift our voice, uplift the ability for us to decide what we want to pursue.
That's the main reason Maldonado Badhand wanted to create this con. She said that when she invited some friends to present their anime work, they questioned if anyone would like it.
And I was like, why would you question whether you belonged somewhere because you had something that was likable for the rest of the general public and assumed that it wouldn't be likable for Native people?
She hopes the con allowed people to bond through shared connections and see that Native people are artists and fans of pop culture like everyone else.
You can celebrate over fandoms and everybody can be nerds together and kind of celebrate that way.
Organizers hope to expand IACON for its second year and partner with similar Indigenous events in the future. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Emma Vandenhainde.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.